Recording in progress.
Do, 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 do. Here we go. My name's Todd.
This is Kathy.
Welcome back to another episode of Zen Parenting Radio. This is podcast number 750. Wait for it. 56. Why listen to Zen Parenting Radio? Because you'll feel outstanding. And always remember our motto, which is the best predictor of a child's well-being is a parent's self-understanding. Why are you laughing at me?
I don't know.
Just, you're laughing for
you
a reason.
You just made like an old man sound.
Was it?
You sucked in.
I do make some old man noises. Usually when I'm trying to put on my shoes or take off my shoes.
I know. And I can't make too much fun of you because I do too. And my children pointed out to me sometimes. It's like when I'm getting up from yoga or like moving, I'll be like, ugh. Yeah. Like I can't even do it. It's so normal when I'm doing it, but I can't imitate myself.
We're not going to get here yet, but what's the main thing we're going to talk about today?
We're going to talk about how ordinary moments are the most important moments.
Oh, okay. Ordinary are the most extraordinary. How about that?
Yeah, it's a little play on words.
Yeah. But first, we have a bunch of fun things to announce.
Okay, good.
One is NCAA brackets came out on Sunday.
Okay.
Women and men's tournament starts, there's some playing games, but the most of the games start on Thursday.
Okay.
We are doing a women's bracket.
Nice.
And I decided that we are going to charge $10.
Okay.
Half of which goes to the top three teams.
Okay.
And the other half goes to
What does that mean, the top three teams?
Top three brackets.
Top three brackets.
Yeah. So if you come in first place, you get 60% of the winnings. Second place, you get 30.
Ooh.
Third place, you only get 10%.
I want to win.
Probably your money back. So half of it's going to go to the winning pool, and the other half is going to go to the general fund for Special Olympics.
Oh, I like that.
I just chose that. There's so many wonderful causes out there, but I chose that. I happen to light up whenever I see a person with Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It'd be inappropriate.
Well, that's going to be your retirement job.
I know.
You're going to work with men.
It'd be inappropriate, but I just want to go and hug the person. Mm-hmm. And I don't do that because we need consent and permission and all that, but there's something inside of me that feels connected to people with Down. So anyway, so get your brackets in. We're just doing the women's tournament because a lot of people are going to be choosing the University of Iowa because of Caitlin Clark. Most people on ESPN, so you have to sign up through ESPN. So you got to do the whole username and password. I'm sorry for that, but I'm not keeping track of the brackets because it's too complicated. But most people are choosing the Gamecocks of South Carolina because they are undefeated. So it'll be interesting. But I will tell you right now, I'm choosing University of Iowa. Why are you choosing University of Iowa, sweetie?
Because my daughter goes to school there.
That's right.
And because of Caitlin, of course, and it's her last year. And so we just got to like have all our energy going toward the Hawkeyes. But the Gamecocks, that's where my niece goes to school.
I know.
So it's
Ava.
I love Ava too. But
not as much as Cameron.
Yeah. Well, I'm not putting money into the University of South Carolina the way I am the University of Iowa.
Oh, we're putting some money into the University of Iowa. I'll tell you that. I'm kind of in a silly mood now. So I'm just going to play a little part of a song and explain why.
Okay.
So I'm leaving town tomorrow. I have a bazillion things to do today. So, and twisted thoughts that spin round my head. I'm spinning. Oh, I'm spinning. That is my state of consciousness right now. When I feel like this, I usually feel overwhelmed. But today I'm just treating it very lightly. Like I got thrown a curveball this morning with some men living stuff.
Yeah.
And I got scared. And now I'm like, hey, we can do this.
Like, well, and I feel like fear and, you know, again, this wasn't this extreme, but fear or feeling like you're kind of being pushed down to your knees is an opportunity for growth. Like, and that sounds so cheesy. It's an opportunity to do something different.
Well, and it wakes
you
and
up.
And it's just not about the men living thing. I got like so many things I have to do before I go to sleep tonight, and then I got to wake up early tomorrow, blah, blah, blah.
Are you going to come to bed with your computer again?
Well, that was for me to figure out this stupid March Madness thing.
I actually didn't mind.
I know you didn't. If you did, I wouldn't have done that.
Well, you know why I don't mind? Because now we have that desk.
I know.
So you're not like in bed with a computer. We actually have an office in our bedroom right now. And I know people are like, oh, an office in your bedroom. But we really just needed another place to go.
Yeah.
That's like our third office, Todd. We have a podcast office. I have my therapy office. We have an office we share. And then now we have a desk in there. But you think we're crazy, but we do so much Zoom work and stuff.
I like to move around a bit. It helps me.
And do you work in the podcast office? You don't work in here, do you?
I only take calls in here or do interviews or something like that.
You know what I want to do? I'm just saying this out loud to you.
Yeah,
behind me, people on YouTube can see behind me. I want to put something where, because when I look at you, you have the good things, our phrases that we've had at our conference.
Yeah.
And I like...
You have a bad background.
Yeah, I need a good background.
Yeah.
So we'll I'm going to work on that.
I'll put that on my list.
Do that tonight for me. Thanks.
Sweetie, you did a Zen Parenting Moment.
I did. It was a kind of a follow-up from last week's show.
And I'm going to just play this song. Why am I playing this song, sweetie?
Ace of Base.
Yeah, why am I playing
this? Sweetie, name another Ace of Base song besides I Saw the Sign.
I know I've heard of one, but I don't remember it.
Remember the first one?
No.
I can't get my voice up to that range.
Go ahead.
All that she wants is another baby. Do you remember that one?
Is that more famous than... All that she wants. What does... Maybe we'll play this at the romance thing tonight.
Why? What does it have to do with anything?
I don't know. As a man in a heteronormative relationship with you, I want to give you what you want.
I know, but I don't want another baby, hon.
Oh, is that what the song is about? Oh,
well,
I don't know what the song
honestly,
is about.
You know, usually I know what a song is about, and I don't know. I know the words to that song, but I don't know what she wants.
Maybe
does
we'll
she
do
really a... want another baby?
I want to know what the lyrics say.
Yeah, let's read me some of the lyrics and then we'll figure it out.
Let's see what happens here.
There's also another song by Ace of Base that I really like. After we're done with this.
She wake up. I don't hear anything about a baby.
Well, wait till the chorus. Maybe I've got the words wrong.
Oh, here it comes.
Okay. Is that the words?
Yeah. All she wants is another baby.
So does she mean a baby, like crying baby, or does she mean like another partner?
I think she means a partner.
Okay. So she just wants another partner.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, don't use that in the romance class because that's not what we want to focus on.
Check. That's tonight. Oh, no, that was last night.
That was last night. It's sorry over, everybody. That. Sorry you missed it.
Hold on. I'm going to...
Yes, when this podcast comes out, our romance class will already be over. But if you were there, I hope you enjoyed it. I hope we did a great job.
Oh, I'm sure we crushed it. why did you write the Zen Parenting Moment about
astrology?
Astrology.
And so how does this connect? Because it's called What's Your Sign? Mm-hmm. So that's why Todd was playing I Saw the Sign. And that's why we started listening to Ace of Base. Anyway, it was a follow-up to the conversation we had where you brought up Adam Grant's... work that he's done. I actually need, hold on. Hold on, everybody. I need a Kleenex.
There's a Kleenex box right there for you, babe.
I know. I have to go.
All that she wants is another Kleenex.
Okay. Now, for some reason, when we podcast, I feel like I need a Kleenex. Okay. So here's what I was saying. We were talking about Adam Grant's research around astrology, and he decided, or he didn't decide, the research that he was citing, it was from MIT, I think, and it was saying that they found no correlation between people's personalities and zodiac signs, et cetera. And he also warned that we should be thoughtful or cognizant of buying in to something like astrology, because then we're more likely to buy into other things that may not really reflect reality, which I respect that, because I am someone who, you know, I think we're in a really culty time. And I think sometimes people really do latch on to certain things that make them feel better or comfortable. And then they have a hard time recognizing the bigger picture.
Yep.
But what I wrote about was kind of, because I said on the podcast last week, I said I'm kind of in the middle when it comes to astrology. And so I just kind of explained what I meant by that, which is I am not a skeptic, but I'm more skeptical. I also think that where I really enjoy astrology and other models like personality tests and such, that I also don't think that they entirely represent me. I just like them as a model. I used your quote from last week, which is all models are, what did you say?
All models are wrong. Some are useful.
All models are wrong and some are useful. I think that's, you know, it's helpful when they help you or when they inspire you or bring some level of self-awareness. I think that's really great. But when we start to over-identify, then that becomes, we're losing our critical thinking skills. Yeah. But I also think, again, many things, is that astrology's been around forever, you know, way before religions.
Must be something to it.
So there's something to it. It's just, I think we get too literal about things. Yeah.
Like if we can't calculate it scientifically through the scientific method, then it doesn't exist, it has no value or there's no truth in it. And I'm willing to believe that there could be truth in almost anything.
And so I think there's a mystery there. And I think not everything is proven by scientific method. And when I say that, I don't mean I don't believe in science. What I mean is there's some things that are still a mystery, even within science. And that's, you know, that's proven in physics and stuff. So this is it. I just think with astrology, we hold it in our hand lightly. Mm-hmm. We don't grab it too hard.
You ready for the next thing?
Yes.
Let me see if I can get this to work. Let's see.
Ways to spot a Gen Xer. Let's go. If they use awesome and excellent in everyday conversation.
Awesome.
When they tell you they were on the phone and do this. If you sing Shooting at the Walls of Heartache and they sing bang, bang, bang with finger guns. When they're telling a story about their past and they say, now remember, cell phones weren't around back then. They eat dinner around 4:30 p.m. and are in bed by 9 p.m. Five ways to spot a Gen.
So there you go. There's the five
Amen,
ways.
Dude.
So you shared that with me. I thought it was funny, but I didn't understand the bang bang thing.
Which is so you. How do you not know The Warrior? How do you not know that song?
The Warrior.
Yes. One? Shooting at the walls of heartache.
What's the name
bang,
of the song?
The Warrior.
I've seen the movie The Warrior.
No, that's and so that's different.
Times.
So the song The Warrior, Patti Smith.
Oh, Patti Smith.
And then it came out when I was in seventh grade.
Okay. Yeah, I needed him to sing it because I'm sure I've heard this before.
Yeah, it's like one of the most famous choruses from our generation. I can't say that everybody knows it, but.
Let me see. All right, I think I got it.
Bang, bang.
All right.
Got it?
I like that song.
I know. It's a great, great song.
He didn't present it well.
He didn't, but he shouldn't have to.
Oh, he should have had
no. You know what? I love the beginning of that song. I just love, I love it all.
Your wish is my command.
Oh, you're going to play it for me?
What do you love about it?
I just love, it's a great like rock and roll song. Like I just like the way it, and the video, are you watching the video?
No, this is not the video.
Oh, the video is messed up, man.
Is it?
It's just a very 80s video. Really bad costumes. Mm-hmm. Like they're trying to tell the story that she's saying. So it's like kind of like a monster-y guy. And then it's just if you look at it, you'll know exactly what I mean.
I want everybody in their car or in the kitchen or whatever it is, when it's time to say bang, bang, wherever you are, unless you're in a meeting, go ahead and say bang, bang. Are you here with
me? But you got to do the finger guns, too.
And the finger guns. Here we go. I think it's coming up. Will you do it, sweetie?
Yeah, turn it up.
Bang, bang. All right. Wow, my day's just getting better.
Do you feel now that you understand?
Understand what?
That this is one of the Gen X things.
Yeah, I kind of get it.
Did you understand?
understand the what? Meaning of life?
Well, because you like thought, I sent that to Todd, that five, the Gen X five things.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I kind of like it, but I didn't get this
one.
I'm like, how do you not understand? Now, the one, I sent it to my girlfriends and they didn't like the one about eating at 4:30.
Because they don't want to think they're old.
And I texted back. They're like, we don't eat at 4:30. And I texted back, it's 5 and I've already eaten.
Yeah.
Like, I don't do that all the time. Like, you know, a lot of times because if Skye doesn't get home till 6 or 7, we wait for her. It's not that I'm always eating early, but if you give me a choice.
I'm totally with you.
I totally want to be done with dinner.
And I'm going to own the fact that this makes us sound like we're 80 years old, getting a blue plate special in Florida or whatever.
Right.
But I also say, because by like 4:30, I'm kind of done with the day.
I'm done.
And I'm not, I think I'm being productive, but really I'm not. I'm distracted. So might as well eat earlier. And then maybe I'll do a little bit of work after, or maybe you and I'll go for a walk, or maybe you and I will watch Fargo, which we've been watching lately, and then we can get to bed earlier. I am so okay with people making fun of me for going to bed early and waking up early.
Well, and I think like the whole like old person going to eat at 4:30
Blue Plate Special?
Is that what it's called?
I don't know.
Early Bird Special.
Early Bird.
What's Blue Plate?
I don't know. I'll find it out.
What's a Blue Plate Special? Early Bird Special. They're like trying to get a discount and, you know, whatever. And it's not about
for
money.
For the record, I love discounts.
I know, but that's not why I'm doing it. And to my point, I don't get to do it very often. But if I'm like yesterday, you were gone. Todd drove Cameron back to school after spring break. And so I was kind of on my own because Sky was with her friend. And I was like, I'm going to eat. It's like four.
A Blue Plate Special is a term primarily used in diners and restaurants in the U.S., particularly during the mid-20th century. It refers to a daily special offered by the establishment, typically written on a blue plate.
So that's not what it is.
Yeah, I should have said early bird.
Early bird special.
All right, very good.
Yeah, so anyway, we're not like trying to retire and be old people. We just want to be done with dinner. Yeah. And you know what? You know what I've been doing for 20 years?
What's that, babe? Tell us.
I have been figuring out meals for people. And I'm not even a very good cook. And every night for 20 years, I've had to be like, this is what we're eating and people are unhappy, or I got to go pick up this food, or I got to go to the grocery store and I got to do the dishes. And I'm tired of it.
You know what I'm going to talk
about?
And
so I want to just have what I want to eat when I want to eat it. I've been taking care of other people.
Terminant of bad.
I'm going to slightly shift the focus before we talk about ordinary and the extraordinary. I love my kids. I love all three of them.
Me too. Aren't they the best?
I love their partners. But I will just complain for a second.
Oh, no.
From below the line.
Okay.
And we talked about this morning. I got a call from one of my kids asking, this is like a week ago. We're coming back from Michigan. Can you pick me up a sandwich? Right? She's like, I'll order it. Just pick it up for me. And at the time, Cameron was there with Wyatt, her boyfriend, and Skylar. They have functioning cars. And they're asking us, who were coming home from a road trip, and
to
we
pick
said
up their
yes.
sandwich.
We said
yeah,
yes.
Because that's what people do to help each other.
I know, but there's this old crotchety, grumpy grandpa part of me.
You've got a crotchety side.
You and this is when I like go back and really drop a little line, which is when I was a kid, I didn't even have a car and blah, blah, blah. And then don't even get me started on DoorDash.
I know. They pay for those fees.
Sometimes.
When we have not given them permission, they have to pay for it.
Yes, they pay for their own DoorDash. Yeah. But I'm like, why would you ever pay the extra $4 and the $3 tip?
Sweetie, time's money.
I guess so. I just didn't think their time was that valuable.
Well, and I'm kind of being facetious because I don't understand. When they're home and they have a car and they DoorDash something, I don't get that either. But I'm like, if you're paying for it, you're making money, figure it out.
Right.
So I think at some point they won't do that.
Yeah.
You know, they're just still young. They just don't want to go out.
Yeah.
But I said to Todd this morning, we were talking about this, and I was like, when I got my driver's license and I could go to McDonald's, I didn't even think that was a hassle. Mm-hmm. I was like, I can drive to McDonald's
Freedom.
Now. And now we're just at a point where driving to McDonald's is a hassle. I mean, that's what's funny is like when I see people and I've seen it many times, DoorDash something like McDonald's, I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Because that's like really.
Or they order McDonald's ahead to pick up. There's people do that too.
I know, but you like to do that because every time you go to Portillo's, I'm like, don't put it in ahead of time.
Here's the deal. McDonald's is making the burgers whether you order it or not.
Okay.
Portillo's is getting an order for a burger and then they're cooking it.
Oh, I see no difference.
Oh.
What's the difference?
Because I think what I'm saying is if I get to Portillo's on time, it's going to be fresher.
Okay.
And by the way, Portillo sometimes has a long wait.
Right.
Whereas McDonald's, I mean, how often is there a long wait at McDonald's? And it's likely that
it's already in
pulling
the box.
A burger that's already been made.
So, but I think I kind of view, the reason why I'm saying just drive through Portillo's is because I think it's fresher that way. I think it ends
it
up.
Oh, it is.
Okay.
Is.
Then there's why? The,
because now I don't have to wait in that line.
Oh, so you're trying to avoid the line.
Boom.
Okay. Well, isn't that what everyone's trying to do then? Even at McDonald's? Then aren't you like
criticizing
them?
It just seems like there's fast food and then there's super fast food.
Okay.
And I feel like McDonald's is super fast food, whereas Portillo's is just fast food.
Okay.
I have no idea if I'm making any sense at all.
Well, it's just we get kind of stuck in our ways about things where you're like, no, I want to do it this way. And really, it may not make sense, but you like to do it that way. That's and right. If you're the one picking it up, I'm not going to.
I love picking up food.
I know.
It's what I do.
When Todd's not around, I'm in charge of that.
Yeah, you had to go to Jewel yesterday. How'd that go?
He was very nice. The man came up and said, what's the number? And you had just given me the number and I forgot. So I had to like pull it up. And for some reason, my email wasn't sending. It was a whole hassle. And so I was like, I think it's 5834. Yeah. And he goes, bingo, you got it right. And I said, well, thank goodness, because otherwise I wouldn't be getting this food. But yeah, it is strange that someone comes out and puts our food in the car. Okay. One more point.
Yeah.
That's another thing that's different between you and I is when I go to the grocery store, I walk through the grocery store. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, Todd said, again, because he was going to be with Cameron, he said, pick up the food. I already ordered it. Yeah. I'm like, okay. But if I'm going to the grocery store, I want to choose my own apples.
Yeah.
I don't want someone choosing those
for me.
Yeah,
I get it. I don't care.
I know you don't care, yeah. But I do.
I know you
Skylar
do.
And I do.
Right. Check.
I can tell you're worried
about
this.
I love you, and I love Skylar, but not enough to go into the grocery store if I can avoid going into the grocery store.
I know, but you can do self-checkout.
You can do self-checkout.
So you don't have to talk to anybody.
You cannot talk to people.
Okay, moving along.
Real quick, I have in my announcements, there is a thing you're doing on Team Zen called Sephora Kids.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
So my friend Jen, she's actually an esthetician in Elmhurst, she is going to lead us or be our guest speaker for this talk about, I'm using the word Sephora Kids or that language because that's what's used in the media, which basically means like young kids or girls, I'll focus on girls, who are buying a lot of like Sephora skincare and makeup, and they're being marketed at through TikTok and through all these other media outlets. And really, do they need these 10 serums for their skin? And is this a place? I'm saying, should they be spending money here? What I mean is, are we being thoughtful enough about what our kids are being told to do with their skin and with their money? I think in every generation, there's always something the kids are buying up, if it be a toy or whatever. But with skincare, it's interesting,
you
right?
You know what I think when I hear about this?
What? Pink Floyd? That's so cool in our earphones.
Yeah.
Like goes from one to the other.
That's what I think about. How much money are these kids paying for something? These kids, for the most part, even if you have acne, you have beautiful skin, I don't care. And I don't mean to minimize.
Yeah, don't minimize.
It. I'm not minimizing. It's just the Kardashians screwed us up. That's all I want to say.
Well, they and that model, because they're not the only
yes.
ones, but there is
they're part
this,
of a system.
You know, right now, skincare is a thing and makeup is a thing. And everybody who, like, I feel like the things that celebrities are doing right now is they're either making alcohol, like they have a gin or they have a wine thing or they have a tequila, or they're making skincare. Like you see it. It's funny because I was looking for a moisturizer yesterday online because the one that I used to get is now not in stock. And so I was kind of reading, what do I want? And then I found one that I really liked, and I'm meaning that I liked the ingredients and everything. And then I read down and I'm like, oh, it's Scarlett Johansson's.
Skojo.
Right. Like I'm like, I didn't know that. It seems like everybody has, you know, something that they're creating. And that is why when there's a celebrity that is creating it, they have access to our kids, right? Because our kids are following celebrities and they're like, go out and buy my skincare. So girls are doing this. And, you know, to your point about money, there's all these articles that have been written about, you know, girls checking out at the Sephora counter and it's like $1,000 and, you know, how to get that high and where are their parents, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then also, I think Jen is also just going to talk to us about how to talk to our girls about that, but also how to take care of our own skin, mm-hmm. you know, because as women who are, you know, anywhere between 35 and 60, we have differing needs. So she's going to come and talk to us about it, all those things. April 22nd, I believe, is the
I'm
day.
I'm going to pull it up. And so how would somebody be a part of that?
You got to join Team Zen.
Oh.
Team Zen is where it's at, everybody. If you want to do these classes, the romance class, this class. I have a women's group that I run. We have a divorce and separation group. There's a talking about addiction group. There's a new group that was just developed.
It might start, and it's parents with kids that are pre-adolescent and younger.
Yeah, because obviously a lot of things Todd and I talk about are with older kids, so we want to make sure the people on Team Zen who have younger kids have a support group. Even though what we talk about is pretty universal for all ages, you kind of want to talk to people that you're having the same experience at the same time.
$25 a month, cancel at any time.
Yeah. And everything is on an app.
Yes.
So like every day, I look at the Circle app and it's so positive and happy and everyone's so nice.
Yeah, so check it out. Before we go on to the main course, I was talking to my friend Tony and he said he went to Vegas and he has a referral for us of what we might want to do next time we're in Vegas.
Tell me.
Bruno Mars has a key.
Okay, everybody, there's three things you can do for us. If you haven't already, follow this podcast. That's good for you because you don't have to go looking for the show, and it's good for us because it helps people find us. You can subscribe to my Zen Parenting Moment newsletter, which comes out every Friday. It's just some information for you to make you feel better about your day and about your parenting overall. And then three, if you like this podcast, you will love Zen Parenting the Book. I put together everything that we talk about on this show, all the essential points, all the things that people ask us about in one place. You can find Zen Parenting the Book anywhere books are sold.
A few other things that we'd love for you to do is follow us on social media. Kathy does a great job with the Instagram page, and we have a YouTube page. All our videos are up there. If you're a guy, check out Men Living. It's a men's organization that I co-founded way back when. It's an opportunity for guys to drop in, get real, have some fun, and just have good, solid connections with other guys. And don't forget, we have pop culturing. Kathy and I talk about movies, and we've done about 40 or 50 of these things. So follow pop culturing. You can find it in your podcast search.
Join the Circle, which is the Team Zen membership platform. It's an app with Zen Parenting Radio's complete parenting content collection, plus live talks. We also have small groups that focus on finance, raising healthy sons, differently wired families, and I have an exclusive women's group. This is only $25 a month, and you can cancel at any time. Our motto is zero pressure, 100% support.
The Bellagio.
Okay.
And he said it's the most fun club he's ever been in. And actually, when he was there, Bruno Mars was there. And he said it was crazy.
What makes it more fun than another club?
I don't know. The first thing is, when I think of a club, I think of like a loud bass and a DJ and all that. But there's live music. And he just said, I've never been in a club with this type of energy. It's probably because Bruno was there. But
probably.
So anyways.
I used to go to the clubs in Vegas. I went with my girlfriends. You and I went a few times. And sometimes it's hard to get on the list.
Yeah. I know. And you and I have to be in a very special place to want to go to a club because usually the clubs...
we have to eat by 4.
Yeah, because we have to eat by 4. Like, when are we going to go to a club? Well, in 6 hours after dinner. Yeah, like, because some of these clubs aren't open till 11.
I know.
Really?
We're looking at our watch.
Because that sounds so fun and all that. And I used to... I never liked clubs. I'm a much bigger fan of a dive bar. If you had a choice between a dive bar where nobody's in there and a fun club, what would you choose, sweetie?
Well, that's hard because that's like two different aspects of my personality. Totally. I mean, I would say a dive bar most of the time. I'd probably give it a 60-40. But a club, the thing about the club is, what music is it playing? Because if it's just boom, 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 then that's not fun. But sometimes if you can, my girlfriends and I, like when we were in our, I can't remember if we did this or not. I think we did table service where we actually had a table and we were kind of like in the middle of the floor and then they would just bring you bottles.
Yeah.
And so you don't have to go anywhere. You're like in your own little private club within a club. Mm-hmm. If I'm just going there to stand in a mosh pit, forget about it.
Yeah.
No way. I haven't done that in years.
What do you think I would choose, sweetie?
The dive bar.
Yeah, because then we'd get all of us together and then we make up a drinking game. Sounds so fun.
Dive bar.
And then
we
find a jukebox and then...
Right.
Did I say jukebox?
Jukebox.
Jukebox.
Nobody says jukebox, though, but that's how it's spelled, right? Jukebox? Jukebox?
Oh, it's J-U-K-E.
There's a name for this where you say a word too many times and you start to lose track of if it's really a word.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? What's that called? Jukebox.
I don't know.
Do you know how much money I used to put in jukeboxes?
A lot.
Oh, so much. I would like want to take it over. I'd be like, I'm going to put so much money in here that it's all my music.
Yep.
It was kind of greedy, kind of not thoughtful, to be honest. But I usually played pretty good music.
You ready for my lyric on jukeboxes?
Let's hear it.
What do you think I'm going to play?
It's either going to be Joan Jett. Is that what you're going to play?
No.
Don't put another dime in the jukebox?
Nope.
Oh, good. Billy. Where does he talk about a jukebox?
Sweetie, do I have to play it again for you?
I missed it. What do you say?
Play it again.
No, you don't have to play it again. Just read it to me.
Cold beer, hot lights, my sweet romantic teenage night. Those days hanging out at the village green.
There we go.
Engineer boots, leather jackets, and tight blue jeans. Oh, you drop a dime in the box, play a song about a new
Well,
Orleans.
He says drop a dime in the box. He doesn't say jukebox. I know it
what
means
type of
this,
box do you think he's talking about?
I know
about?
It means the same thing, but I was wait. We're talking about the word jukebox.
No. We're talking about the idea of jukebox.
Okay, that was
awesome.
Yeah,
I know.
Okay, wait.
29 minutes in.
All right. So I also want to talk about. I made an announcement on Friday that I have a book coming out.
Oh yeah.
And I think it's coming out early 2025. I know that I have to be done in the next 3 or 4 months. So I'm working hard. Let's just say that. And the book is called Restoring Our Girls. And I've been writing it for a long time, and I've gotten a lot of help from my daughters and their friends and my college students and girls I talk to. I'm doing a presentation on Wednesday, and there's going to be some girls there. And I ask the same questions, and you find that you get very similar answers regardless of age, regardless of, I mean, there's some differing with age, but there's a theme that you can feel.
Can you give us one of the questions you ask just for fun?
What do you wish your parents understood about you? Mm-hmm. I ask, what is it that your parents get wrong about you? What is it that, what do you wish you could talk to your parents about, but it's too difficult? Mm-hmm. What are the things that you wish your parent knew about you? What would it look like if your parents could demonstrate their, like, what does love look like to you? Like, what does that mean to you? Because I remember a couple of years ago, there was this study that came out, and teenage girls and boys were saying that they felt like their parents liked them better if they were doing well in school, and that they were much more concerned about their grades than they were about them as people.
Boom.
And I have always kind of kept that in my mind, as far as I understand why kids feel that way, not because we don't love our kids. That's never been a thought of mine, but we're not communicating effectively. Yeah. So this book, my intention with this book is it's really about how to have really messy conversations with our kids, because you need to have conversations that don't have winners and losers, and that don't have some kind of dramatic end, and that don't have, like, that you don't wrap everything up in one conversation. Messy conversations are open-ended. Sometimes there's this practice of being wrong on either side, right? You know, having some humility about maybe what you do know or what you don't know, being willing to apologize, maybe being, you know, nervous about something your kid is telling you. Sometimes parents will shut their kids down before their kid will tell them something that's significant because they're not quite sure they can handle it. Sometimes they won't even ask the question, like, are you depressed, or are you gay? Or are you, have you been skipping school? It can be something not about identity, because they don't want the answer. And it's interesting, because I think a lot of us, I was going to tell you, I'm sorry to interrupt this up, but last week you had that same thing, and you can hear that you drinking from that because of the straw?
Yeah.
Is metal.
Yeah.
So it clinks the whole time.
So plastic straw next time.
Yes, because last week I was listening, and there's all these points that I could hear it. Sorry, I do. We just do this right on the show, because I'm never gonna remember to tell them. Anyway, so that's what this book is about, and I'm also trying to kind of lay out. Todd's going to take another drink. Todd.
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay.
Okay. Restoring Our Girls. Sweetie, I am so excited for this book.
I'm not done. One more thing.
Yeah.
I'm also laying out the things that our kids, our daughters wish we knew that we, so we could bring these kind of things to conversations, having a deeper understanding of what they need. I think it's really, intense. I think it's really like has a lot of information in it. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be very helpful, or I hope so.
I think it will be, babe.
I'm very excited about it because, man, you know what my life is? Girls. I am with girls all the time. Teenage girls, young adult girls, younger than that sometimes, you know, pre-adolescent girls. But I talk to them all the time.
I watched the documentary on the Beastie Boys.
Yes.
And
girls.
They were pretty embarrassed.
About that song.
About that song.
I was watching that part with you. Yeah. And I was glad they said that.
It was a really good documentary. I think it's on Apple. But I knew very little about the Beastie Boys. They weren't really my style of music, although there's a few songs that I adore. But
well, they got so much better. Like we
they
all
became
loved,
musicians. Yeah. They were not musicians in the beginning. They were guys
rappers.
Who screamed into a microphone and had very little experience. And then they met Rick Rubin, and then they had a falling out with Rick Rubin, and then they started becoming musicians. And that's when their good stuff.
Well, and that's why I want to be clear. Like rappers are musicians,
yeah.
But they were being led by other people. Rick Rubin's really respected in the industry, but I feel like they didn't feel like they had a voice. Mm. And so they continued to rap, but they then had their own musicianship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like sure. They had their own voice. But yeah, girls, that song was brutal.
Yeah.
To do the laundry.
Yeah. To do the dishes.
To do the dishes.
Yeah. I was going to play it, but I thought you'd get mad at me, so I didn't.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's of its time.
Not the message we want to be sending
no,
out on
not,
this podcast.
Not when I'm trying to get people to read
Restore Our Girls. all right, let's jump in.
Okay, ordinary versus, not even versus, ordinary moments are really what we're after, okay? So the reason I was thinking about this is I feel like sometimes personally or with our families, we're always trying to go after these extraordinary things or have things be a certain kind of special or have things be like heightened to a point where we almost, you know, maybe sometimes we can achieve it, but we're always trying to work to get to something.
Yeah.
If it'd be like, so, and I mean that with a vacation.
No, it's the first thing I thought of.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll be happy and connected with my family
yeah.
once we get to Arizona.
Right. Or, you know, it could be with our kids, like clubs or their sports. Like they're not really an athlete until they get to this level or until they do this thing or until they have this experience. Or, you know, our kid is showing us artwork and we're like, well, you're not really an artist until somebody else is looking at it and either deciding you get a blue ribbon or a red ribbon. And then it's also just about our day-to-day experiences, like, you know, one thing I know, the gift that I've gotten from having times in my life where I've been depressed or really anxious is that really all I want is to be able to sit in peace. And I don't mean like in a meditative state. I mean just sit and be contented, like outside on my front porch and have you around or have the girls around, that really what makes us the most happy is very simple. Mm-hmm. And now that I've had people in my life die who I love very much, you know, they're not here anymore. I'm not like, hey, I wish I could go on a vacation to Disney World with my dad. I just want to sit on the front porch with him
yeah.
and listen to his voice and watch him walk out all dressed up like yeah. he would always be
right.
and just see these really simple, and he would always smell so good.
It's not the grandiose stuff. It's the smaller things that you typically don't even notice.
Correct. And it's the same with my girls. Like when I think about, you know, now they're older, they're all, you know, two adults and one that's almost an adult. And what I miss from when they were little are their voices. When they those little voices, remember we were playing that video of Cameron yesterday? Mm-hmm. And oh, Cameron's voice, she was so loud.
Yes.
And she can still talk really loud sometimes. But she was so, like, she had such a, you know, she had this kind of like, she always had these big things to say. And then you'd always hear in the background JC laughing at her.
Truth.
Like JC just laughed at Cameron in a positive way, not like in a laughing at her to make her sad. But you could hear JC's laugh. And I miss those things. I miss, you know, sometimes there's certain pieces of clothing that Todd and I have kept that the girls used to wear.
Like that purple thing I loved.
That this purple thing that they would wear, it was kind of
like
we called it a Cookie Monster coat.
It was like a jacket
That zipped up?
That zipped all the way up. So they were a little burrito.
And we, and all three of the girls wore it. They also all wore the same outfit home from the hospital, that little polka dot outfit, Todd.
Yeah.
You remember? And we kept those because it's not, it's just a memory of them that we love. And it's very simple. It's a coat. It's nothing extraordinary. Yeah. And that I think we forget that relationships happen in the ordinary moments. That sometimes we're trying to create something grand or, you know, like, let's talk about a meal. A lot of times people, and this is, doesn't have to be gender specific, somebody like creates this big meal and does all this work and puts all this time into it when really what it's about is just being at the table with people.
Right.
You could go get Chipotle and have the same outcome as far as like being together. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand some people like to cook and that calms them down and makes them happy. So I don't want to disregard that. But I just think that I just wanted to emphasize how ordinary is actually what we're going for most of the time.
Can I play a little bit of just some of our kids and their younger voices?
Sure.
I'm waiting for a good part in the video because I'm watching it. In the meantime, I will just say one thing.
Please.
I totally agree with you. JC and I went to Alaska this last summer, and it's one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen.
It's kind of an extraordinary thing to do, though.
Totally.
Not that's ordinary.
And that's where I'm going with that. Like, we flew through the night, 6-hour flight, blah, 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 did all these things, and I was overwhelmed by the beauty, okay? And I was in Marietta, Georgia last week, and I was just walking, and I saw this ant carrying this bee that was like 8 sizes bigger than the ant. And I just looked at him like, oh my God, like that's like the most fascinating thing I have ever seen. And I remember Eckhart Tolle saying this when he was talking to Oprah 10 years ago, whenever that was, is like.
No, 20.
20? Oh my God.
20 years ago.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. He's like, if you want to connect with nature, go outside and look at a 12-inch square piece of grass. And there's so much happening in there.
You know what's funny?
I say that just because I could be as fascinated looking at an ant carry a bee as I can looking at a glacier in Alaska.
Yeah, and you're making a point that's really kind of, you know, where we can play with language is because you are noticing ordinary, extraordinary things.
Yeah.
So, like, that's kind of what I mean about sometimes I just want to sit out on my front porch and smell the air and look at the sun.
Yeah.
Those are extraordinary things, but they're very ordinary things.
Well, and I guess I totally see where you're going with
you
that.
You see?
The fact that a blade of grass comes out of the dirt.
Oh, yeah.
As a result of sun hitting it and it breathing the carbon dioxide that we emit out of our lungs in this soil, like that's totally ordinary and it's the most fascinating thing I've ever seen. Or a tree. Look at a tree.
I know. Well, you know what I just said to Skylar the other day is, you know, in Zen Buddhism, one of the concepts is we have too much language for things. And so when we look at a tree, we think tree.
Yep.
And then we look at it and just think, yeah, that's a tree. But if you pull out the word tree, just pretend you don't know the word tree, and you just look at it, it's extraordinary. It's ordinary, but it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Because, like, look at it. What's it doing? And there's all these animals in it, and there's all these bugs that live on it. And it's got, like, right now, it's very strange because the trees are blooming. I'm not quite sure they're supposed to be blooming yet in the Midwest.
No, I don't know if they
are. I think we've just had such crazy weather. Maybe I'm wrong. Sometimes I don't always know when they're supposed to bloom. But it's if you pull the word out and you just look at it, it's really amazing. And again, this connects to mindfulness. This connects to, you know, slowing down. There's a lot of concepts that Todd and I always talk about on Zen Parenting Radio that that this connects to. And it really is a practice, which is why just understanding that ordinary is what we're going for.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we believe that if we make this much money or live in this big house or have this amazing chair or go to Alaska, then we'll be happier.
Right.
And it can give us a boost. It's not that it's necessarily harmful. It's just, it won't sustain.
Yeah.
It's not, what we're really going for are ordinary things.
You ready for some ordinary?
Yes.
This is, I'll know who it is. I do these videos for our kids on their birthdays and I just picked a random clip.
Okay.
No, Bill, Jake, do that to me. You're stinky, Holland. You just know better than me.
That sounds like Skylar.
It is Skylar.
Yeah, I was going to say that's not, because Cameron's voice is different.
And it's her sisters laughing at her.
It's both of them laughing.
It's just hilarious. So, like, that's like one of a bazillion moments. I happen to catch that one on camera. And that's what it's about.
And the thing is let me say to parents who are listening to this who have young kids that age, and you're like, that's not that, that's like my normal everyday, I'm hearing this laughter. Yeah. Or that, totally. And in no way are we saying to you, yeah, enjoy it more. You can't. Because when you're seeing it every day,
it's not as special.
It's not as special. And you, and for anyone to tell you that you need to appreciate something more is, it's almost shaming. Yeah. It's like guilting you.
Yeah.
You don't need to do that. Just be with what is. Right. And then there will be a time when you look back on it and you're like, those ordinary days where I was like sprawled out on the couch, exhausted from everything we did, were where, that's where I built connection with my kids. Mm-hmm. And so when we, you know, for the parents who are like, I'm not going to have any deep, you know, this connects to my book too. I'm not going to have any deep talks with my kid until it's the right time, or I'm only going to hang out with my kids when it's vacation, or I'm not going to, you know, when we're trying to just, it's the ordinary moments with our kids that build the relationship.
Are you ready for a little wisdom from Andy Bernard, sweetie?
I'd love to.
The weird thing is, now I'm exactly where I want to be. I got my dream job at Cornell. And I'm still just thinking about my old pals. Only now they're the ones I made here. I wish there was a way to know you're in the good old days before you've actually left them.
That's such a wonderful quote. I used to play that all the time.
And you know something I will say, that's something I've learned now being 50, because you and I have been playing that quote for almost a decade, is that every time you're in is a good old day.
Yeah.
You'll miss every, I miss aspects of being in my teenage years. I miss my 20s. I miss part of my 30s. Actually, my 30s are a blur. I feel like I was pregnant the whole time. I miss part of being 40. And now that I'm 50, I realize that when I'm 60, I'll miss part of being in my 50s.
Yes, for sure. Or so, we're going to be like, you know, I'm complaining because I did something to my hamstring like 2 weeks ago, and I still, it's just not healing well.
Uh-huh.
So I'm sitting there complaining, saying, oh, if I was 35, that wouldn't have happened. Or if I did it, my body would have recovered quicker. My 60-year-old self would be making fun of my 51-year-old self, saying, dude, at least you didn't tear it off the bone or whatever it is. So
gross.
Well, sometimes that happens.
I know. What is that? Like an Achilles? What is it?
Yeah, a ruptured Achilles tendon. I mean, there's a lot of different things. So anyways, I can complain that my body doesn't work the way that it once did, but I know my 60 or 70-year-old self is saying, dude, you're 51.
I know.
What are you worried about?
I know.
You have everything. But instead, it's just easy for us to complain about what used to be.
I feel the same way. And, you know, I did yoga this morning, and on my left foot, I'm having, it's not plantar fasciitis. I've had that before, but it's like there's some kind of tingling or discomfort I get when I'm doing certain poses. I can actually push on it right now. And all I think about while I'm in the pose, though, is you're doing good work, at least driving some blood there. Like, I don't want to stop using my foot. Obviously, I can't stop using my foot. What I mean is, like, I'm not going to let that keep me from doing yoga. And I just feel like if I'm thoughtful about it and keep working through it and, like, you know, treating it well, it will heal just like everything else has healed.
Yeah.
And maybe it'll take a little longer. Maybe I'll need support at some point, but I think that we have to recognize that everything is, like, for example, I like to compete with Todd because he likes to compete with me. And I just, you know, went to the doctor again, got my blood work done. I feel like there's so many doctors we have to go to now. Do you feel like that way? Not because we're sick, but
have
because.
That wouldn't be the word. I'm trying to be a little smarter with my medical care.
Me too. Me too. And it just so happens to be this is the time when I see all these people and get all these things checked off the list. But I got my blood work back a couple of days ago, and it's better than it was when I was in my 40s, mm-hmm. meaning everything's normal. Whereas before it'd be like, oh, you don't have enough D or your iron is low or whatever. And so there's a lot of reasons for that because I take care of myself. But I also believe that this idea that we're going downhill all the time mm-hmm. is not true. And that even if, and it can be, but it doesn't have to be. And I've had plenty of health scares in between. I probably had more when I was younger than I do now. But I also feel like appreciation of this time, which is very ordinary, mm-hmm. you know, just enjoying the fact that it's Todd and I are recording on a Monday, it's morning, you know, we both got a pretty good night's sleep, which isn't always the case. You know, still have a daughter at home. It's a little cold outside, but not freezing. Like, I'm just appreciating just very normal things.
Can I do my best to inspire a bit?
And please.
Maybe you know this. Tom Brady, he played quarterback, in case you've never heard of him.
I've heard of Tom Brady, yes.
He's 46, and he recently ran the 40-yard dash. Now, when you are getting scouted for the combine, when you're getting drafted as a younger player in your NFL, you run the 40-yard dash.
Okay.
And he ran his 40-yard dash in 5.18 seconds. And when he was 20 years old, he did it in like 5.2 seconds.
Wow.
Something like that. So at 46, he ran it faster than he did when he was 21 or however old he was. So I say that to myself that typically the way aging happens is that there's a slow downward trend of what our cells can and cannot do. And at the same time, we don't have to be a victim or at the effect of all these things either.
Well, and we don't have to buy into just a standard line.
Yes.
Like you know, especially at my age, there's a lot of talk around menopause. And I have a lot of wise friends around me who are kind of helping me with these kind of things, even though I found out thought I was going through menopause and I'm not. I'm not there yet, Todd.
No.
Just got my numbers back.
Sorry,
and
sweetie.
She's like, no, you're not there. So, but I, you know, there's obviously a perimenopausal thing being 52, and that we believe a lot of things about that everything's negative and everything's bad. And it doesn't have to be that way. It's because not enough research has been done on women or with women. And when you really start to talk to people who understand it and read these books, there's so many books and so many people to follow on social media and stuff, and just talk to your friends who actually have some experience. There's no reason that the next 30, 40, 50 years for me don't have to be amazing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And amazing means something different. You know, just like we were talking about going to the club. Like when I was 20, going to a club in Vegas was amazing.
Sure.
And now what's amazing to me is different. And I love that. Like I don't like the negativity around changing, or that we're supposed to stay the same, or that aging is a problem. Like, I've really enjoyed.
Now we can crush a club even better than we could when we were 20.
Maybe they'll let us in at 3 p.m.
We're and here.
We have dinner reservations at 4. So can we dance and get out of here? But you know what, Todd? Like, why not?
Well,
like,
because the club's not open yet.
Well, I know.
That's why.
I know. That's not going to happen, that thing. But I kind of feel like there's so many things that I'm doing. And again, my children are older, so I have a little more space in my life than I did 10 years ago, that's for sure. But there's things I'm doing, like, you know, Todd and I were just talking before we started, I'm going to buy a new drum set because I'm actually drumming more. And then I've been drumming for 2 years now, or a year and a half. And it's something that probably in my 30s, I would have been like, well, that's dumb. I should have started that when I was younger. Why? I think part of getting older is you're like, why not? I'm not competing against someone. I'm not trying to be in a band. You know, I just like it. It just the way I, you know, we like anything else.
Yeah.
We don't worry about the things we used to worry about.
I'm going to give you two examples. One
okay.
is I'm going to go back to my hamstring.
Okay. About how it ripped off the bone?
Yeah. So
I'm having a hard time getting over that in my brain.
So I can complain that my hamstring's tight and I can't go out for a run today.
Sure.
Or I can, and I think this is important to note, it doesn't mean I'm pushing my emotions aside, because it does suck. I want to go for a run today, I can't go for a run, blah, blah, blah. But you know what else is working? When I ask my hand to open up, it does. And when I look out my eyeballs, I can see and hear. And I don't know, whatever, the liver, the pancreas, the lungs, and the heart, all these other...
Isn't it amazing?
All these other systems that are happening in my body that are working really super well, yet I draw my attention to the one thing that isn't. So the invitation is for each of us to, just own the fact that your version of the hamstring isn't working well. But don't forget about these other 99 things that are working well. And, you know, we're wired to scan the environment for threat. We're out to survive. We tend to focus on things that are going wrong. And it takes, intentional consciousness to also focus on the things that are going right.
Exactly. And I actually just saw, so there's this CNN anchor. Her name is Sarah Sidner. And she, I'm not quite sure how long ago, but she told people, she found out she had stage 3 breast cancer. And she has been going through treatment. And she posted something the other day. I've watched it 2 or 3 times, you know, kind of where she is now in her journey. And I think she's on her 6th chemo treatment. And then she has, after that, she has radiation and then a mastectomy. You know, she's got a ways to go. But what she shared that was so meaningful to me about the ordinary things is she's like, I've been so mean to my body since, like, you know, since she started to, you know, the culture and society told her body had to be a certain way. And she's been so angry with her body. And she's like, and now that I'm going through this and I'm recognizing my body and I feel more attached, you know, more embodied. Yeah. She goes, I'm so grateful for this body that can fight with me, fight for me, that it's been taking care of me, that it's been, you know, walking me around, that it's been allowing me to be who I want to be. And, you know, I rewatch things like that when people have those awarenesses, because I've had them too when I've been sick or whatever. But sometimes you need those reminders of, like, and you don't, I kind of always feel like the people who are in extreme circumstances, like she's dealing with stage 3 breast cancer, which some of you listening may have experienced yourself or other people around you, but it doesn't have to get to that point all the time for you to have that recognition or appreciation of your body. You know, like, I still struggle with certain aspects of my body, and every time I do, I try to say things out loud like, hey, this is just,
hey, we're in this together.
This is who I've been, man. Yeah. This is me. This is my body. And I've never, you know, for as much, you know, pressure I've put on myself or cultural demands that I've given into, I really like being at a point where I'm still human and I have moments, but for the most part, I'm just going to, you know, those jeans don't fit, so I'm not going to wear them.
Yeah.
I'm going to wear something that, like, makes me feel good, that makes me feel like I'm in my element and that I am honoring my body rather than forcing my body to be, you know, a way it's not supposed to be.
Love it.
So anyway, I just thought I'd share that.
Thank you. And a few things as we get close to closing the show.
Yes.
I'm going to name some names and I just put in something like old dog, new tricks. Like, who are some famous examples of older people who accomplished great things?
Okay.
All right. And this will be like a quiz for you. And you tell me if you've ever heard of them or what they did. And I know some of them for sure you have. Harlan Sanders.
That's the Kentucky Fried Chicken guy.
That's the Colonel.
His beady eyes.
His beady eyes. Maybe I'll play that clip if I can find it. He founded KFC at the age of 65. All right.
So all right.
That's pretty good.
All right.
65-year-old man creating a restaurant that we all have driven past.
Yes.
Grandma Moses.
No.
Heard of her, but I didn't know what she did. She began her prolific painting career at the age of 78.
Nice.
Becoming one of America's most celebrated folk artists. This person I know you haven't heard of, Fauja Singh, S-I-N-G-H.
Uh-uh.
A British Sikh centurion, and when I say Sikh, S-I-K-H, or Sikh. Okay. Sikh,
yeah.
Took up marathon running at the age of 89 and went on to complete numerous long-distance races, including several full marathons. At
love
89.
It.
89. Diana Nyad.
Yeah.
We know what she did.
She swam you guys have to watch the movie Nyad with Annette Bening and Jodie Foster. It's so good. I mean,
it's good.
It's good.
It's very good.
Like, I was crying at the end. Let's just say that.
Nobody has ever done it.
I know.
And she did it at the age of 64 after several.
And she tried in her
30s. Yeah.
And you know, it was still amazing, but she failed at her goal.
Yeah.
And so then that's what the movie's about, like how many times she tried into her 60s, because she thought she was going to get it done when she was 60.
Those jellyfish, 61. Sweetie.
I know, those damn jellyfish.
The box jellyfish, whatever that is.
So I think that kind of what we're saying is, like, we are the age we are, right? So let's do with it what we can. If we are young, if you guys have young kids and you're with them right now and you're like, oh, and they need so much time, that's where you are. It's not something you need to change. You're not doing it wrong. That's where you are. And you do the best you can with it. And you try and make as much time for yourself as you can. And then as you get older and maybe your kids aren't around as much, or they're, you know, leaving the house or whatever, find things that you love. Like, it's not too late to do things you enjoy.
That's right.
Are you going to play?
Yeah, I'm looking for it. Here it is.
Okay.
So who's in this Pentagon?
The Queen. The Vatican. The Gettys, the Rothschilds, and Colonel Sanders before he went tetsa. Oh, I hated the colonel with his wee, beady eyes and that smug look on his face. Oh, you're gonna buy my chicken. Oh.
Dad, how can you hate the colonel?
Because he puts an addictive chemical in his chicken that makes you crave it fortnightly, smart arse.
Forget about it. It's like the funny. Oh, we got to do this one.
On. Do you, we have to say what it's from.
Go ahead.
It's from So I Married an Axe Murderer. Mike Myers movie, 90s, if you haven't seen it.
Noggin. That's a virtual planet. Heed. Shh. I'm the size of that boy's heed. Shh. I'm not kidding. It's like an orange on a toothpick.
Shh. You gotta give the boy a complex.
Well, that's a huge noggin. That's a virtual planetoid. Shh. Has its own weather system. Shh. Heed. Move.
My God.
Mike Myers.
So good. I'm going to say thank you to Jeremy Kraft.
Say his name correctly.
He's a bald-headed beauty. You need a new kitchen, need a new bathroom, need your house painted inside, outside. Chicagoland area, mostly west suburbs, 630-956-1800. If there's any guys out there that want to join me at a Men Living Weekend out in Virginia at the end of April, you can just go to the show notes. And don't forget to get your ballot in, your bracket in for March Madness.
I want to win. I don't know if I'll win. I don't know if I know enough about the teams.
Well, the good news is, like, you don't have to know anything because they have seedings.
Well, they have seedings, and it also, what I thought you were going to say was, that's sports. You really, even if you have a lot of knowledge, you never know what's going to happen.
No, you don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. So get your March Madness support, people with Down syndrome.
How will they figure this out?
Just click on the link in the show notes.
Okay.
All right. Anything else, babe?
That's it. Everybody have a great week. We love you.
Keep trucking.
If you have appreciated or enjoyed a decade of Zen Parenting Radio podcasts, please tell a friend or leave a 5-star review. We are grateful for your support. If you want more Zen Parenting, consider joining Team Zen Circle, our very own app that includes our virtual community, exclusive content, and support from us.
You could also purchase Kathy's award-winning book, Zen Parenting, Caring for Ourselves and Our Children in an Unpredictable World, or subscribe to Zen Parenting Moment. You can find these opportunities and more at zenparentingradio.com/resources. And if you want to connect through social networking, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Keep trucking, and we'll talk to you again next week.